Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
After years of neglect, overgrown Timor-Leste forest finally reveals its yield. Welcome to the kitchen table. You're with Shannon Gillies.
You're with Christian Vega.
And Patrick Whalen-Smith.
Today we're chatting to Tom Mann, a peacekeeper turned business entrepreneur. Tom is one of four Australian former peacekeepers who has created the coffee collective Wild Timor Coffee. They're a coffee bean supplier based in Melbourne and Timor-Leste. After 30 years of neglect during Indonesian rule, coffee that was originally planted by the Portuguese some 500 years ago was discovered by peacekeepers in remote villages as they patrolled the area, striving to ensure that it remained trouble-free and searching for militia hell-bent on destruction. So the men were peacekeepers in Timor-Leste, where they were based in a retransmission station in the hills. They were there to take care of security, and they met some of the local children and were introduced to the coffee farmers that way. The coffee farmers were the parents of the kids. Now, Wild Timor Coffee prides itself on ethical trade with the Timor-Leste farmers and ensures the farmers get a fair price for their coffee. Before we delve further into our conversations with Tom, we're going to go to our first order of business. We're jumping to a song.
Fantastic. And what song are we playing,
Shannon? We are going to play O Halele by Timor Kimnyak Fon. It's from the soundtrack to the movie Balibo.
Fantastic. You're on the kitchen table with Patrick, Christian and Shannon.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9 on air and online at joy.org.au.
We're on the kitchen table, you lucky creatures. I'm joined by Christian Fager and Patrick Whalen-Smith. We're discussing Wild Timor Coffee today, and we've got an interview with one of its business directors, Tom Mann, and he is a former peacekeeper. What we're going to do is we're going to listen to Tom as he talks us through the process of how they actually found the coffee plantations.
Joy 94.9.
They were kind of getting ripped off by a lot of people.
So what do you mean ripped off? Are you talking about...
There's a lot of middlemen that were taking a fair cut, so like fair, they ask the farmers and they've never see it, they've never heard of it, it never filters down past a certain level.
Okay.
So our original plan was just to bring over some of their green coffee beans and flip it on eBay, you know, just to make them a bit of money, and then, you know, go off and we'll do our own. Looking at anti-poaching at that time in Africa, running around, not with the army, that's a whole other story, which we'll get into.
So were you guys...
International Anti-Poaching Foundation.
Okay.
Doing anti-rhino. Yeah. I think they even branched out into elephants and stuff for a while, but in Africa. Nothing to do with the army at all, it's just a separate
thing that you guys are looking into.
Yeah. Like, Shannon, the big bloke in the picture there,
yeah.
This doesn't help for radio, but this is more for your knowledge. Shannon and Tom on the right both did it for a fair few months on and off. Shannon's done it twice now, I think. And Cameron, the other guy in the business, did it. I couldn't because I blew my knee, I had to go home for surgery, ACL. Yeah, so when we were in... So we bought the coffee back. We were in Africa, running around just being idiots. Got a call saying, you guys need to get back here right now. And we're like, shit, you know, what have we done? What did we bring back? Was it coffee or was it something we didn't have bought back? And so the guy that we gave to was like, nah, it's, you know, you're on something good here. Forget about everything you're doing over there. You've got a good story, you've got great coffee, you need to be back here now. So we came back and we realised pretty quickly, especially in Melbourne, like, you need to be... either on the bus or off the bus, camp, half on, half off. So December we went back to Timor after finishing our army contract in October. With the stuff that we made from the green beans, we were able to get them that new de-pulping machine, which put the sherries in it.
So it basically just runs the pulp off and you just get the green bean.
Yeah, it still has another husk on it, so you've got to put it through another machine, but... we didn't have that much money to buy another. We didn't even have money to buy that one, really. But his old one, top right up there, is a hand-cranked.
Oh,
it's made out of wooden, plastic, Coke bottles and everything. It's just being able to get him that just improved.
Have you
everything, really.
Ever gotten to use it?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Oh, it's scary.
Like you'd lose a hand here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's but it means he can also, the more they can process it up on the hills, the more they can demand in terms of price. So if we go under, if we can't, for some reason, don't keep on going, they'll still have the ability to process more coffee and demand a higher price. So the problem was, like, middlemen would go around, they'd buy, they'd say, you know, oh no, the coffee's crap, I'm only going to pay this much. And they didn't have a choice. It was either that or, you know, let it sit there and rot. There's no other option. So giving them this means they can process it more and put in better practices and then demand a higher price.
I think it's pretty amazing how we've got this Australian-backed company in East Timor, and they're educating the coffee farmers about, mm-hmm. you know, this is your product and this is the sort of price you can demand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the East Timorese came across a product that they weren't sure of the value of. Is that what happened?
Yeah. So basically so the Portuguese, who used to rule East Timor, mm-hmm. basically planted these coffee fields. Then when they decided to leave East Timor and then the Indonesians invaded.
1975.
Yeah, those plantations were neglected, and so it's only due to, say, the presence of the peacekeepers who randomly found these fields that these coffee, you know, they're actually like, actually, you guys are getting ripped off.
Mm.
You can actually get a better price. So I think that's quite cool to see that the peacekeepers' sort of like personal morals have come into play, and it's a very positive business story.
Yeah, and I think it definitely shows the sort of interaction between, I guess, ethical peacekeeping and building economic sustainability within a community.
Yeah, and it's all through that friendship that they built with those small children,
mm-hmm.
and then just being able to meet the community that way, and then discovering, wow, you guys might actually be getting ripped off. And as Australians, we're just like, no, that's not cool. Let's step in.
Hmm. Cool.
We've had a long, long history of friendship with people in Timor-Leste as well, though, especially with all the peacekeeping activities. And coffee now is one of their prime exports.
Yeah.
Was it beforehand? I'm gathering so. I'd gather that it was a little bit beforehand, and now it's just come and become such a strong part of their culture that's, with that one.
So that's much more linked with their, I guess, national identity as opposed to something that was kind of attack on before.
Yeah, it's sort of like it was one of their key sort of agricultural components. So you've got coffee, you've got rice, you've got corn, you've got sweet potatoes. And then it's also one of their number one exports as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this year the UN are looking at withdrawing. So this is just Timor-Leste, I think, building their own economic sort of sustainability processes. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we're going to hear a bit more from Tom now. What's Tom going to be talking
to us?
Well,
next we find out why Tom and the others decided to get involved with coffee and not another type of export. Why is coffee a far more valid source? Why not marble or vanilla beans?
Let's find out. You're on the kitchen table with Shannon, Patrick and Christian.
Okay. So why did you guys decide to go with coffee and stay with coffee?
$1 million question, I guess. It's we realised pretty quickly that we could improve their life, but also improve ours here. If I don't have to go around carrying a pack for the army anymore, you know, sign me up. I'm more than happy to do it. And if I get to come out and drink coffee every day and meet people like you, you know, let's do it. Job solved. But it's kind of a no-brainer when you see what they're living under. Like, you know, that's their floor, that's their house, it's dirt floors, but they'll still give you the shirt off their back. So Shannon, when he was in there in 2000, they'd be walking through villages and, you know, walking through the jungle, cutting these trees down, and these farms have run out, cracking the shits, and they didn't know why. We realise now it's because they were cutting the coffee plants.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, because they were patrolling, looking for the militia and, you know. Yeah, so I mean, like, Shannon's story, other Shannon, the guy Shannon, is kind of paints the picture pretty well, saying, you know, they'd bring out this coffee, and it was the sweetest coffee he's ever had. It was full of sugar, of course, but, you know, out of the middle of nowhere, they'd run out. And you're like, you know, they're nice plate, and you don't know how they have nothing. Yet they have this like crockery and, you know, coffee for everyone. And yeah, I don't know. For me personally, I think it was. I mean, you find it with everyone that goes to the team. Or once you're there, you kind of don't want to let go. You get that love for it, and you want to do what you can. And I mean, we're just a tiny drop in the ocean, really. But if we can help out our village and then get that down pat, we'll be able to do that with other villages around Timor. So that's the plan. It's a very slow and long process, though.
What was it like when you turned up to this?
So that's pretty amazing that they're actually looking at expanding. That's like potentially, I mean, it might not be immediately, but I guess a couple of years down the track, there is a business plan going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that they're expanding into other villages, I mean, it's kind of like, I think the Tier Fund, as they used to do that as well. So rather than just giving...
So what is the Tier Fund?
It's a sort of non-profit organisation. So what they do is they go into communities and they give people sort of grant. This is my understanding. By all means, if anybody wants to text it and correct me, do it.
427 Joy 949.
I love being corrected, as my team well know. but basically what they... Hello. What they do is they give grants to community members and they allow them to build their own businesses. So what they do is with those businesses is they make a profit, and whatever money they earn, they pay back Tier Fund. So Tier Fund can take that money again and give it to another person.
I've seen other systems that have done that in other communities. I think there's one that's done through Kiva or something like that. This is one that I was doing where they like you get $25 and you can reimburse it and then they pay back the loan that you give or something like that.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah. Sorry. It just reminded me of that.
No, that's really awesome. So I just like the fact that we've got four former peacekeepers who are just like, let's actually make a positive difference.
Mm. It sounds pretty amazing, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about their work right after these messages. You're in the Kitchen Table with Patrick, Shannon and Christian on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. joy.org.au for the world.
You're on the Kitchen Table. We're a show that combines all aspects of hospitality and social issues. Today, you are joined by myself, Shannon.
And Patrick.
And Christian.
And we're talking to Tom from Wild Timor Coffee about an organisation that is made up of former peacekeepers and are now importing coffee beans into Melbourne, Australia.
Fantastic. And we're about to go to more of our conversation with them. What are we about to hear now, Shannon?
Well, we're talking with Tom, mm-hmm. and we are going to talk about why it's important that farmers are paid a fair deal for their produce. I mean, this organisation turns up and they're about sort of educating the local farmers about what sort of money they can expect for good produce, mm-hmm. as opposed to allowing, say, coffee conglomerates to go in and maybe not give these guys a fair deal.
Great. Sounds like amazing work. So we're about to hear more from Tom from Wild Timor Coffee. I'll get it right one day. By the end of the hour, you're in the Kitchen Table here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
It's easy. We can... Why rip the farmer off for a dollar or, you know, 20 cents? I'd rather go into a cafe and say, no, you're going to pay an extra dollar, and this is why, and this is the result that you can see. Because, you know, skimping out on the guys that are actually doing the hardest work is... We wouldn't be able to live with ourselves if we did it. And I don't know how a lot of the other guys do, really. I'm going to make more enemies with this buddy than friends, but...
What sort of difference has it made to these guys having... Four Australian ex-soldiers, who are all ex-soldiers now?
Such a ragtag ex-soldiers.
Sounds like a great plot line for, like, Gilligan's Island. Yeah. It's only meant to be a three-hour boat tour.
Well, most people wouldn't know where their coffee comes from when they drink it in the morning. Yeah, it's... Most people don't know it's a seed. It's not actually a bean. It's a seed of a cherry. And you show them the cherry and they're like, what the hell is that?
Can you,
get your ticket? Yeah, sure.
Sure. Why should people care about ethical farming?
That was very well phrased.
Because Australian farmers themselves have to battle with this. Like,
yeah.
They've got overseas imports coming in from countries where farmers are subsidised.
Yeah, it's...
Why should people care about the source of their food? Why can't I just grow it on the back of a guinea pig?
Yeah. it kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? I don't know why anyone would be happy settling for what is the equivalent of, like, slave trade anything like coffee or anything farmed, anything made, why would you settle for just to save a couple of dollars? Pay it and then come over with us, the team, and then they can see the actual help us do. You know, one of the little kids, Cristiano's son, he was the biggest pain in the ass when we were in Timor with the army. He was like stealing shit, he was bloody, you know, just getting up to mischief the whole time, and you couldn't trust him. But then since we've been back, we've given him just a tiny opportunity that, you know, he wouldn't even blink at. So he's doing a scholarship at a coffee school, and he is pretty much the right-hand guy. Like, we trust him with absolutely everything, and he's come full circle just from giving him that opportunity.
I think that's amazing, yeah. Why would you pay less for content-made products?
Yeah, and I think,
they don't have hearts.
it does sort of, as consumers, you know, it's that old Naomi Klein argument around, you know, purchase is endorsement. And, you know, if you're going to, you know, fully endorse the processes that, I guess, bring a product to you in whatever way that is, whether it's a cup of coffee or your iPhone, I think they're important things to consider.
Yeah, it's kind of like, don't get me wrong, I realize that lots of the clothing that I'm currently wearing is probably produced by children. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I think if you can make small changes in your life, you should do it. I mean, if it's going to better off a community, I mean, maybe pay an extra dollar for a cup of coffee.
Mm.
I mean, if you enjoy coffee that much, wouldn't it be even more enjoyable if you knew the people producing it were ethically treated?
Yeah.
We're in Melbourne. It's fashionable to care about other people that we can't see. But no, but I agree in a lot of ways with, I agree a lot with buying fair trade and paying the extra dollar for product that you know has been processed fairly, I think is the important thing there. And also that you know that no little children's arm has been caught in the thing when that happens. I agree though. I'm looking at my own clothes and I'm going, yep, this was probably made little stitches by little hands, but it's just the truth.
It's making the changes where you can.
It's making those little changes bit by bit by bit, and it's not, you can't change the world all in one day. You have to do it little by little by little and endorse.
Different sort of swing at it here.
Yeah, okay.
And that's because what we've done here at the Kitchen Table is bring you the story of this, I guess, ethical initiative, community building initiative, and these are the amazing stories that are out there that are being done, and this is the work that's being performed by Australians in our, you know, in our regional backyard, if you like. And I mean, we constantly focus on Australia's negative impact on the region, which we should do, like critically reflect on the way we treat our neighbours. But this is actually a positive thing. This is actually a good news story that we're doing in the region, and I think it's important to remember that, you know, our impact isn't necessarily entirely negative in our region. I think this is a good thing.
Yeah, I think what they've done is it's sort of, they've embodied that saying, be the change that you want to see.
And appropriating a product that was brought in by the Portuguese, by colonizers as well, which I think is, there's some beautiful, it's not so much irony, but it's a glorious way of returning the favour.
I'm going to use a dangerously hipster word here, but it is a sort of process of decolonisation where you're actually giving back to the communities who were taken away from and actually giving them something to
What's
support
hipster
themselves.
What's hipster about that? I think that's a fantastic word. No, it's hipster if you say, I knew it before, it was cool. I knew about that coffee way before. It's so irony. Like,
oh my God.
I said a hipster word.
Well, to be fair, Patrick, looking at all of us right now, you're the one who looks closely resembles a hipster. Please don't
take it. No, I'll take it. It's the truth, but I'm way too enthusiastic to be a hipster.
No.
Yeah.
You're on the Kitchen Table on Joy 94.9. You're with Shannon, Patrick and Christian. If you would like to join in on the conversation at all, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427-JOY949. That's 0427-569-949. Or sending us an email. It's free. Hooray.
Yay.
Email onair@joy.org.au.
No children are harmed in sending an email or a text message. Now, up next, we're going to learn how easy it is to actually go through the importation process of these beans from Timor-Leste.
Joy 94.9.
Absolute nightmare. So it's actually easy on the Australian side with quarantine and customs and all that. As long as you play by the rules and do the paperwork, you get the permits, it's fine. But it's surprisingly getting it out of Timor. There's a lot of big companies that have vested interests, I guess. And
have you had to fight monopolies?
Not really. So someone has to buy the coffee, and unfortunately, yeah, they might rip them off, but if they're not buying it, you know, we can only buy so much. What we buy is a drop in the ocean. If there's 1,000 of us, then that's perfect. That's what they need. But it's, you know, they have to sell it to someone because the oil and gas is running out. That's like, 90% or something of their
exports.
And next is coffee, so it's unfortunate, but it's necessary evil, the big evil co-ops. And thankfully they haven't busted our chops too much, because they could crush us in a second, but they haven't, so it's kind of nice. Hopefully we're just not on their radar yet.
So the challenge is,
but if this keeps on going on, they might be. Hopefully they don't have Joy FM over in Taylor.
It's alright, we'll look fabulous.
It's probably mainly due to the having the UN there for so long, doing whatever the hell they do. They're putting a lot of, in the end it was for the, I guess they're thinking for the greater good for Timor, but there's a lot of paperwork in there now and a lot of red tape. You know, that's what happens when the UN comes in.
Bureaucratic.
Yeah, it became very bureaucratic. And in a country where you pretty much have to bribe to get anything done, that doesn't help. Because then there's like 4 million more people you have to bribe. And that doesn't help. Especially when it's a company like us that has no money. Like, we haven't had a wage in 14 years.
So, yeah, I think that's quite interesting to be able to, like, still run this business and yet still not really claim a wage after 14 months.
Yeah,
and yet still being so driven to actually go ahead and do it. I mean, that's going for dreams.
But I guess it does bring up the question around sustainability of initiatives like these. Without sort of making a massive profit on what they're doing, how is the business sort of sustaining itself?
I think basically what's happening is it's all about just getting out there, mm-hmm. and getting name recognition, and then realizing that what you're banking on is the fact that your product is ethically sourced.
Uh-huh.
And so the idea is that you are expecting people to care enough to go, actually, I do want my coffee beans ethically sourced.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you're always going to have those people who go, you know what, I want my $3.50 coffee, which is picked by the hands of small children, or people who are like, yeah, I want to pay $5 for a t-shirt. What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
So what these guys are banking on is they're hoping that sort of like the mentality of people go, actually, I will spend $60 on this t-shirt because it's ethically created, or I do want this coffee. I think that's where the long-term business plan is heading.
Hmm.
Because it is a point of difference. Not many people can actually do that.
And I mean, looking at Melbourne as well, I mean, they've recently done a campaign to trying to help the sustainability and be able to, for Melbourneites to understand about Timorese coffee as well. They've recently done that funding through Possible.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for a city that prides itself on being, what, foodies? Like the king of all the foodies?
Food snobs, coffee snobs, snobs.
How can you find any of them in Melbourne?
Well, you're down the road. But no, I think it's a fantastic, fantastic idea.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it would just be great to see where they are in about, say, 5 years or 10 years down the track. It's you can actually turn this business model into something sustainable.
It's going to be a slow process, but this is 14 months, is it? So that's still early days for any initiative.
Yeah, I think generally in hospitality, from my background and understanding, is that it takes 5 years before you can even think of going on a holiday. Like the first year, you lose a lot of money. You're never going to make money. Second year, you might make some money. You might break even. Third year is where you actually begin to see the cash coming in. Fourth year, you're able to pay yourself a wage. And fifth year, you go, I'm taking off for at least 2 days.
Yeah. And most, you know, most small businesses, if they're going to fold, they're going to fold in the first 12 months. And Wild Timor Coffee has been around for
at least 14. And that doesn't include the planning stages. So it's probably been around for a little bit longer. So obviously you've got an idea there that can work.
Yeah, absolutely. You're on the kitchen table here with Patrick, Shannon and Christian. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427JOY949. That's 0427JOY949. Or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au. We've got to go to some messages now, but we'll be right back. You're on the kitchen table with Shannon, Patrick and Christian.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Welcome to the kitchen table, you lucky people. We're the Crazy Condiments. I'm Shannon.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Christian.
And today we're talking to Tom Mann from Wild Timor Coffee.
Amazing.
And their coffee's pretty tasty.
Hmm.
I think coffee's pretty tasty anyway. I'm on my third cup. My team totally appreciates that.
Awesome. Uh-huh.
I don't have caffeine dependency issues. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Not at all.
Nobody. Where are we going to next?
Sorry, I was rambling. Okay, look, we're talking to Tom, and next we're going to cover the process of harvesting. So we're going from the gathering point to the actual processing of the bean. If you have ever paid $4 for a coffee, let's find out why.
You're on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9.
The way they do is they'll walk around with a little basket and pick the cherries. In the past 12 months, we've been able to get a bit of education up there. Awesome guys from Japan that have been doing it for years. They were able to come out and show them how to... Because you can pretty much double your yields if you harvest it right. If you pick it when it's green, you kind of bust the...
Oh, the stem?
Yeah, the stem. And then it doesn't... You get a cherry, if you rip it off when it's green, nothing else comes. But if you wait till it's red and it's ripe and you pick it off, you get not only just a better coffee, but it actually... sprouts
again. So you're talking about
so after you pick the red cherry the way it should be, you then take it to the machine, process it as quick as you can so it doesn't ferment, which is one of the problems you'd have. They'll walk for a couple of days with a sack of cherries. By the time they get to you, it'll be fermented and smell like rotting bloody feet.
Gym socks.
Rotten gym socks, yeah. A little bit of that. Sometimes you've got to be cruel to be kind, because you could just pay, you could be like, oh, no worries, here's the money, guys. Yeah, just don't do it again, but then they'll do it again. And you say, nah, look, if you do this, this is how much we'll pay. You come with the good stuff, but you can't take that.
Yeah, because you can't sell it.
Yeah, so sometimes you've got to be, and that's probably one of the hardest things, being an ass like that.
Yeah.
They've just walked, they say 20 Ks, but it's probably more like 100 metres down the road. But then the next day they'll come back and it'll all be red and it'll all be fresh, and you pay them. You pay them a lot more than they'll get. And you've then helped with when we're not there
So it's money for a rainy day.
And it's also the next time they come up and there's another random dude up there with a truck, they can say, nah, I know this is how it's meant to be. It's red, it's fresh, it's good to go. And they can demand a higher price. They can... Knowledge is power at the end. It's about giving them whatever we can.
You're on the kitchen table, which is a splendid place to be. Usually, because I'm there, as well as my team, Patrick and Christian. And up next, we're going to hear from Tom again, and he's going to be talking about, because he's just gone through the harvesting process of how they get the bean, and now we're going to learn all about how they go from field to roaster.
You're on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9.
We don't actually do it ourselves. We contract it out at the moment, just because a roaster can cost anywhere from $60,000 to $5 million, and don't really have that much money. Sorry. we definitely don't have that much money. We don't have any money at the moment, actually. So we have to contract that out. But pretty much, the green bean comes over. So after it gets put through the machine, so from the cherry put through the machine, it's then dried for 11 to 12 days, pretty much until it gets to a certain percentage of moisture content. You process it again by taking the second skin off it.
Okay.
And then once that's done and you have people sorting through it, making sure there's no crap beans in there, you bag it up into coffee bags, throw that into a shipping container, ship it over to Australia via, the shipping routes are mental. Get to Australia, goes into storage, then we take it out and take it to the roaster. And the roaster chucks it in his big, giant oven and hit start and then they pour it out and work their magic. It's kind of a black art, the roasting side of things. It's very crazy, actually.
I understand that people will be quite protective of the secrets because if you...
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can breed the roasters. I mean, yeah, we'll get into it ourselves eventually, and their roasters are fine with that, but it's... yeah, it's pretty funny. Like, they have all their, like, trade secrets in there, you know.
You're on the kitchen table.
Here on Joy 94.9 with Christian Shannon.
And Patrick.
Amazing.
You're my favourite condiments.
So, and great spread. Now, just been listening to Tom.
From Wild Timor Coffee.
And talking about, I guess, the process of harvesting and roasting and all of that work. And we pay $3 for a cup.
I think we're really lucky to only be paying $3 for it.
I'm pretty happy.
For coffee anywhere. Unless you go to a chain and you spend up to £7. What are you doing?
Now, it was earlier mentioned that it is chill out today.
Amazing.
Which is fantastic. And we are crossing live to Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, thank you. Now, Megan is from Berry Street, correct?
That's right.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about what Berry Street does.
So Berry Street's a child and family welfare organisation, and we do lots of different sort of programs, but we talk a lot to Joy about our foster care program.
Oh, fantastic.
What we're doing up here today is recruiting foster carers.
And how's that going?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. We've had lots of people coming up and having chats to us and asking questions and wanting to get some more information, and it's just been great.
Now, Megan, why should people get involved?
Look, you know, foster care it's a pretty amazing thing to do. It's looking after kids that can't live with their families and have often been through, you know, lots of different struggles in their life, even at very young ages, where they've been abused or neglected and just lots of family issues that means that they can't live there anymore. So, you know, there's a lot of people in the GLBTI community that want to have kids in their lives and have got lots to give. And, you know, we want them to know that they can be foster carers. A lot of people think that they can't, but they can. And, you know, there's loving homes out there and there's lots and lots of kids that need them.
And as you say, people do want to contribute to your fantastic service. You are out there at Chill Out, which is, you know, an amazing GLBTI festival out there in Daylesford.
And very family friendly as well.
Mm, absolutely. I'm wondering if you could tell the listener what sort of support the GLBTI community has been playing with Berry Street and the work that you're doing.
It's been great. We've been doing our Fostering with Pride campaign now for, I think, about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And more people are getting in touch with us and wanting to become foster carers. And, you know, there's people up here that we met here last year that are coming up and saying hi again and getting more information. And the support from the community is just growing all the time as people become aware. A lot of people are saying to us, I didn't think I could become a foster carer. Mm-hmm. And so it's fantastic. The more they're seeing us, the more they're realising and, you know, putting their names down and really thinking about it. It's a big decision, so sometimes it takes a while for people to think about it, but we've got people coming up again this year and saying, yep, I think I want to be a foster carer.
So just generally, how is Chill Out going though today? How's the vibe that you're receiving at the moment?
And what are we missing out on?
Yeah.
So much fun. You know, it's perfect weather, so people are, we've got boot scooting happening and there's lots of diversity as there is in our community, but people with their kids and their dogs and, you know, people dressed up, it's just a great vibe and it's very, very relaxed. It's chill out, so it's very relaxed and very friendly. It's great.
That's fantastic. Megan, if people want to find out more information about your service and how to get involved, what's the best way that they can do that?
So if they're up here, come and see us. We're just up near the boot scooting. But if you want to jump online, you can go to fosteringwithpride.org.au and find out a little bit more. Or they can give us a call on 1-800-U-FOSTER, and that's the letter U. Mm-hmm. And we can send out more information or send out an information pack or speak to them however they feel comfortable.
That's
and it's not something people have to do straight away. They sometimes get information and have a think about it, and that's okay too.
That's amazing, Megan. Thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Now go out there and enjoy that festival.
Will do.
Drink some coffee. That's what I'm doing. I'm after a fourth cup.
We've got to go to some music now. We're listening to Killing Heidi.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Happy Sunday, Radio Land. It is the kitchen table with Shannon, Patrick and Christian.
And you're on it.
Get on it. If you're not already on it, then what are you doing? Get on the kitchen table. We're doing coffee today.
Amazing. In case you can't tell, we're doing coffee right now.
Well, you can hear from Shannon that we are doing coffee.
Clearly, if you haven't had a cup of coffee today, I've had yours for you. We are talking to Tom Mann from Wild Timor Coffee, which is an Australian initiative by four former peacekeepers.
Amazing.
Importing East Timorese coffee beans into Melbourne.
Fair trade.
Now, they were involved in a really successful Possible campaign recently.
Yes, they were. What happened with the Wild Timor Coffee is that recently, this is in January, they'd raised over $35,000.
Amazing.
And for that, what they're going to be doing is going to set up Melbourne's first Timorese cafe.
Amazing.
Now, In case you don't know, it is amazing. It very much is, Christian. It's what this is planning to do. I mean, obviously, because they've had a lot of success in Melbourne. Melbourne being the coffee capital of
the world.
Yes, coffee capital or coffee snob capital, and they've they've had a really good response with carts and with the buying of the organic coffee from the producer. So now what they're going to be doing is they're going to be having a little cafe. It also includes some wholesome fresh meals with some Timorese flavours in there. Mm-hmm. You're also able to get some ideas about traditional handicrafts. So I'm guessing there's also going to be room to be able to have a little an outlet for that as well, in selling wares like that. Educating and training, it's basically also talking about training former soldiers in coffee as they make transition to civilian life. Mm-hmm. We learn a lot more about Timorese culture, which is something that I think a lot of Australians are very ignorant about. Mm-hmm. I know I am, so yeah. I'm looking forward to learning even more. And obviously enjoying coffee, which is always a joy. I can't drink coffee anymore, sadly.
Don't worry, I'll drink it for you.
Yeah, you can drink it for me. I love coffee. I love the taste as soon as I get to the point, and then I have the biggest caffeine crash in the world.
You just got to move through it. Just have another cup.
Push through.
As we talk to one addict, it's but they have...
It's called a hobby.
Yeah, they have recently raised all those funds, and that was for, obviously, the rent, for the machines, for the furniture. I don't know where it's being set up. This was only 2 months ago, but... Oh, well, less than 2 months ago, but I am looking forward to wherever it is. Hopefully it's near the city centre, or even it could be out west near my patch.
Amazing.
Just saying, hopefully it's near my patch.
Are you listening to this, Tom? Speaking of Tom from Wild Timor Coffee.
Look, Tom's got a few opinions, which I'm not surprised about. but we do find out what indeed makes his ideal coffee.
Amazing. Hi, you're on the kitchen table on Joy 94.9.
Pretty simple. I think I've trained myself now. I mean, look, I think it's 90% of coffees in the cafe are milk-based. So the cafe will sell, one out of every 100 of an espresso or, a couple of short macs here and there. So I want to do what the 90% are going to be drinking if I go to a cafe to try it out, or if I'm in a cafe that's using ours. So I just go with a latte and see what they do with it, because there can be so much of a difference between, I can give the exact same coffee to 10 different baristas and it'll be a completely different coffee every time.
Do you have a pet peeve when it comes to, say, lattes? You know how sometimes there's too much froth, not enough froth, or that the milk's actually completely, it's turned yellow? Sorry, I'm just welcome to my experience.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, like, frothing the milk. It actually changes molecular structure.
Yeah, if you boil it, there's nothing worse. You'd have to sit there and wait for it to cool down for 15 minutes. You've ruined the coffee instantly. But also you don't want, a lukewarm coffee. I don't know. It's a hard question. Pet peeve is probably... wanker baristas.
And is there anything with coffee that you love, that you're like, this is what I want in my coffee?
Yeah, but more so the outside of things. I love finding a cafe or an organic shop or a business owner or someone who actually gives a shit about their coffee. Someone who cares where it comes from, is willing to learn with us, because we're not experts. We don't profess to be the greatest coffee company in the world, or we have flaws. And people that are willing to learn with us and come over to Timor and see, come and meet the actual farmer, not the co-op owner or the distributor of the green beans or whatever. Someone who's willing to learn and come on the journey. How's that for a sound bite?
Is that good? That was beautiful. Yeah. I feel like doves have been released. In the background, Celine Dion playing.
It's not all bullshit as well. I can't believe that.
No, I know. I knew it was going too far when I said Celine Dion.
That's right. How can you possibly ever go too far when you mention Celine Dion?
Some would argue you've already gone too far.
Lies. Look, up next, we're talking to Tom more about what he's seeing for the future.
But before we do, we're going to go to some messages.
Well, we've had one message. We've had one message in from the divine Jeff, who says hello to the table. We are the table, apparently. The kitchen table. I thought I was on it. Never mind. The coffee today is so much better than it was years ago. Well, I am glad. I am glad it is better now, because I'm alive now instead of earlier. No. Cool.
Tumbleweed.
Everyone's just giving me this tumbleweed. Really, this weird kind of...
So you're in the kitchen table with Patrick Shannon and Chris.
I don't think I'm going to be back after this.
So up next... wah-wah.
We round off our conversation with Tom Mann from Wild Timor Coffee.
Where we discuss the future.
Amazing. You're in the kitchen table with Patrick Shannon and Chris.
Hopefully be opening up our own flagship cafe within the next 3 months, which will be able to give a face to the business as well, as opposed to like coming down to like random cafes, and as nice as it is in here, it's still not ours. And we want to have somewhere Timorese community be able to come and have, it's a really big, a lot of Timorese expats and friendship groups and people involved, like all the people who have been there with the army for the past, since 1999-2000 up until last year when it finished. There's there's a lot of people interested in it, so if we can have somewhere where we can showcase what's happening over there now, the tiny bit we're doing over there, the story of Timor, and somewhere for them to come hang out and have their community meetings, then that's what we want to do.
How important is it that the Australian public understands the community of Timor?
I think probably more so now than ever. It's with everyone pulling out, the UN, the army, a lot of NGOs and stuff are looking at pulling out now. The handouts are kind of stopping, so there's not this the mentality of being given is kind of needs to change. So I think social enterprise like ours and whatever else other people can think of to do over there is going to be good, like ecotourism and giving people the knowledge that Timor's pretty safe. It's, amazing people over there. And it's like anywhere, though. You wouldn't walk down certain streets in Melbourne at night, and you don't do the same thing in Timor, but it's not that bad. If you want to come over with us. We'll show you around.
You're in the kitchen table here with Shannon, Patrick and Christian.
And today we've been learning about a Melbourne-based initiative where they're importing coffee beans from East Timor for the consumption of the Melbourne coffee going public.
Amaze.
So pretty much 98% of the population.
Amaze.
I think most of that 98% is me. Are we considering
amaze. Anyway, Patrick.
Much enthusiasm.
So much. You need some coffee.
Yeah.
Clearly. Patrick, you've been reading up about Timor.
I have, very much so.
Share what you have learned.
So what I've learned about Timor-Leste, obviously, as many people do know, Timor-Leste was initially colonised by Portugal. Mm-hmm. And remained so until 1975. For a very short window, and I'm talking about 9 days, it had declared independence.
Why 9 days?
Because very shortly after that, Indonesia invaded.
Yeah, not happy times.
Not happy times.
Not good times at all.
So it was invaded from 1975. From 1976, it was annexed as part of Indonesia, becoming the 27th province of Indonesia. Although only Australia actually officially recognised that, which is kind of unusual considering our relationship now. But I suppose it could do something to do with Indonesia being probably our biggest threat, possibly, if we were going by that, by someone by water. So it could have been a bit of a diplomacy thing. During this time, it's reported that there were up to 183,000 Timorese people who died during that period due to famine, due to disease, and, of course, due to fighting. During that time period as well, it was quite interesting. The Indonesian government got very upset when, in 1996, Jose Ramos Horta and Bishop Carlos Felipe Zimies Belo, sorry if I've pronounced that correctly,
that's amazing.
Won the Nobel Peace Prize for their work towards a just and peaceful solution to the conflict in East Timor. So it was kind of like a bit of a big middle finger to that one. And in 1999, August 30, the Timorese voted 78.5% to 21.5% in favour of independence from Indonesia in a UN-backed referendum. And from that was a lot of violence from the Indonesian military and pro-integration militias, and that killed around 1,400 people and displaced hundreds of thousands as the Australian-led UN force struggles to restore order. So obviously now they are now independent as of 2002, I believe,
was when
they were independent, because Indonesia left in 2000. So now, obviously, the UN's still there and they are about to leave.
I think there is word of a withdrawal happening
as withdrawal.
Well. So East Timor, Timor-Leste is now in preparation mode, I think.
Fantastic. So looking forward to a bright future, excellent exports with the coffee, and we have a divine invitation from Tom to go there.
Amazing.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We've got to go to some messages now, but you are on the kitchen table with Patrick, Shannon and Christian.
Yay.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're on the kitchen table. Shannon.
Patrick.
And Christian, if you feel like it, Christian, I guess we're each other's name.
Oh, such sharers.
It's 1 minute to two. We've got to wrap up, guys.
Hey, look, a massive thank you to Tom Mann from Wild Timor Coffee and taking us through the process of what it's like to be a peacekeeper, discover some coffee plantation and create a kick-ass business.
Amazing.
A sustainable, ethical cast business.
Now, keep your eye out for this, for the Wild Timor Cafe. I'm looking forward to going there and frequenting it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Shannon will drink up most of their stocks.
I do not have a problem.
Sure you don't. You've been on the kitchen table.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.